Welcome to Dayspring Church Podcast. As you listen, you may want to take a moment to pause and reflect on what God is highlighting for you.
Good morning. So good to be back at Dayspring. It's been quite a while. This is the day the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. Yeah, thank you, Lord. What a privilege it is to worship with you this morning. Anybody else besides me just sense the presence of the Lord? Yeah, thank you, thank you, thank you. And Aaron and Kristen, thank you for the honor of being here. I've been in Australia this is my 10th day, Brisbane, Melbourne here, and just love what the Lord is doing in this nation. And I love what the Lord's doing in this church. I travel a lot, and I become a spiritual wine connoisseur. It says, taste and see that the Lord is good. And I love just tasting of what's here and just the presence of the Lord, the excellence. There's great leaders in this room, influencers. And I was just taking the word, before I get into my message, I was just praying over Dayspring. And for each letter of Dayspring, I was hearing something over you. That you are a discipler of nations, church. You are an awakening church. You awaken people into out of religion, into vision, and into intimacy. You are a youth revival church. I just hear youth, and that this is a season of youth revival. Someone say amen to that. This is a ministry that has strategic thinkers in it. They're strategic thinkers. And this is a church of praisers, of 2 Chronicles 20, where they put the praisers ahead of the army. And even that chapter is going to really speak into lives. This is a church of influencers of influencers. Influencers of influencers. I want to make sure I get all the letters there. Okay, spring, And this is a church of Nehemiahs, male and female Nehemiahs who are builders. And this is a church of generosity. And generosity, just even reading what was on your offering declaration there and just got me. And so I just say thank you, Lord, for what you're already doing. I also heard in my spirit, this is a new season. Just say it's a new season. It's a new season. It's a new season for individuals. It's a new season for this ministry. And I say thank you, Lord, for every person who's here. And nobody's here by accident. When I was praying over Australia, and by the way, I'm on staff at Bethel Church, Redding, California, and my wife and I have our own ministry called Igniting Hope Ministries, and we have an assignment to ignite hope. There's no hopeless circumstances, there's just people who do not have hope. And once people get true hope, circumstances cannot stay the same. The Greek definition for the word hope, it's the confident, joyful expectation that good is coming. The confident, joyful expectation that good is coming. My personal definition of hope is that hope is the belief that the future will be better than the present, and we have the power to help make it so. Hope is the belief that the future will be better than the present, and we have the power to help make it so. I believe after love, hope is the most powerful leadership quality there is. That our hope level determines our influence level, and he who has the most hope is the most influence. Now, I'm talking today to hope people. I'm talking today to people who are overcomers. I'm talking today to people who are important in what God is doing. And I know I've known the Lord for many years. I'm going to share my story today. And as long as I've been alive, there seems to be great reasons to be pessimistic. Can we just all laugh at that? Ha ha. And I just, by the way, this is a pessimism deliverance meeting. And I was here, the Lord's freeing people today from pessimism, procrastination, perfectionism, and poverty thinking. It's already happening here. This church is a church that does that. And so I love to just share a message on hope. And my message is my story. So I'm going to share my story with you today and conclusions that I've made. And I submit these conclusions to you. And I'm going to, just for the sake of time, I'll share most of scripture out of memory. And I'll use phrases like God said to me. I didn't hear an audible voice, but these are conclusions that I made in my spirit from prayer, the word. And when I preach, I love to have people do two things. I like to have people say things, and I like to have people laugh at things. Now, the reason I like to have people say things is because you can't change your life without changing how you talk. Now, I only used to say things higher than what I was feeling and experiencing as if I was singing them in worship songs. I used to get irritated at worship leaders because they would have me sing the same phrase over and over again. And I heard the Lord say, Steve, that's the only way I can get you to say it. By the way, you got great worship here. But I'm still rocked by that John 18. I am he. And then is it Elise? Who did the, wow. That was... Anybody else like that communion? After that, I said, we can go home. We can go home. But I think, because in Matthew 4, Jesus didn't think his way out of the wilderness. He spoke his way out. We can't think our way out. We have to speak our way out. And both God and the devil need our words to accomplish their will. And so I like to have people say things, because death and life is in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruit. Why don't you just say this? I'll never be the same again after this meeting. Just say, I'm in the best season of my life. I'm significant in what God is doing. And so faith comes by hearing, and so... We hear ourselves say things, our faith comes into agreement with what God is saying. Now, I also like to have people laugh at things. Now, how many of you know God invented laughter and he does not regret it? It says in Proverbs 17, it says, a merry heart is good like what? Medicine. Now, one of the ways that we stay emotionally and physically healthy is by valuing laughter. Now, we don't laugh all the time. We weep with those who weep. But laughter is a powerful spiritual weapon, because to laugh, you have to let go of things. And it's like the lies that we believe that are creating our negative strongholds, when we're able to laugh at them, we start to disempower those strongholds. So like I could just, I could just give you this lie. You can just do an experiment. Just kind of laugh at this lie right here. You are a failure. Ha ha ha. All right, so, because you hear that, there's part of you says, well, that might be true, but then And so I'll have you laugh at a few things today. And why don't you guys just warm up your laughers just a little bit more? Ha ha, ha. Because I wouldn't want anybody to laugh suddenly and pull a laugh muscle. So, my story, and by the way, I'm praying about Australia. Let's come back to that. Praying about Australia. I said, Lord, what are you saying to Australia? Who is Australia? And I heard this, that Australia is a John the Baptist nation preparing the way for the next move of God. And Australia is a nation that has a fresh revelation on what repentance is. Mm-hmm. And you know, John thundered, repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. He said, it's close. It's within your reach. Everything is within your reach. Now, repentance, let me say this. Repentance is not an event. It's a lifestyle. The Greek word, the Greek meaning for the word repent is to change the way you think. And we don't repent primarily from things, we repent to things. Repentance is not just repenting from wrong behavior into not doing wrong behavior, and godly sorrow is a part. Obviously, that's a beginning. But more importantly, repentance is a lifestyle where we're repenting to God's promises, to our identity, our true identity in Christ, true to our prophetic words. And so I see that the nation of Australia, that there's a fresh move of God that's happening. There's leaders who are getting raised up, and this house is significant in that, who are giving a fresh perspective on repentance. And so today, I want to share my journey of how I learned to repent. And so I grew up on the north coast of California, where the big redwood trees are. And I did not know Jesus as a boy. I did not know him as a teenager. And I met my wife, Wendy, who we're married to. I met her when I was a senior in high school. She was a junior. And we started going out, and then we became hippies. I actually had hair. And we did things that hippies do. Ha ha. And then we met Jesus. Somebody say yay. And we found out this, there's no high like the Most High. There's no high. I mean, and I love it. I mean, he's the real. I've known Jesus for about 50 years now. Woo-ah! And it never gets old. He's the real deal. Now, so met Jesus, and we started going to an Assembly of God church in Northern California, good church, and we got married a couple years later, and it was a season of living in Romans 12:1, where we give our bodies as a living sacrifice to the Lord, and living in there, learning to do things God's way. Not my will be done, but your will be done. And I've never done anything God's way and said, I wish I wouldn't have done it God's way. Amen? God's ways are perfect. Now, God's ways may create short-term pain to the flesh. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Doing the right thing is not always, the flesh doesn't always like it, but it brings long-lasting blessing. Doing it my way is going to bring short-term pleasure to the flesh, but long-lasting pain. So we're learning this. By the way, the Lord is releasing grace to people in the room within the sound of my voice. For areas where you're struggling to surrender, there's a grace in this season to do it. It's going to happen. Just say it's going to happen. And so we're surrendering. It's a season of sacrificing our time, our food, our dreams, and just what Isaiah heard in Isaiah 6 and his encounter. Who will go for us? And my wife Wendy and I, we just ran the altars and said, "Here we are. Send us. Here I am. Send me." Why don't you just say that with me? Here am I, send me. And it was a powerful season in our life. And then in 1991, God sent us to pastor a church in the desert in Nevada near Las Vegas, about 4 hours from Las Vegas. It's isolated, rural, not many people out there, but we had a word to be there. How many of you know God's not always logical? How many of you know the leading of the Lord in our life in certain seasons may not seem outwardly wise to the experts? Ha ha. And he sent us to in the desert to a church of about 30 people. And again, God likes to send people to deserts to teach him how to repent. And we basically heard this: Stephen, Wendy, I love your heart for Romans 12:1, but if you're going to see transformation, I need to move you into Romans 12:2, where it says, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by what? The renewing of the mind. And we heard this, that transformation doesn't come from surrendering your belief, it doesn't come from surrendering your heart, it comes from surrendering your beliefs. And we grew up in a culture thinking that our lack of breakthrough, because transformation is getting God's promises into our feelings and into our experience. And we grew up in a culture thinking that our lack of transformation, our lack of breakthrough is because we hadn't given God our heart enough. And with that in mind, my wife's crying out, God, I give you my heart. I give you my heart. I guess I can't give you my heart. Just take my heart. And she hears, Wendy, I have your heart. Now I need your mind. I got your heart. I grew up in a belief system that I was never doing enough. That I was never enough. I wasn't praying enough, wasn't reading the Bible enough, wasn't fasting enough, wasn't generous enough, wasn't evangelistic enough. I didn't have a good enough family. Why don't we just laugh at all that? And I could never surrender those beliefs because I was constantly renewing my mind with what the accuser of the brethren was telling me. And he got really personal with us about beliefs to surrender. He says, Wendy, can you surrender the beliefs that you're shy, inadequate, and can't speak well in front of others? She says, but that's who I am. And she hears, that's not who you are. That's just who you've become. That's not who you are. Steve, can you surrender the belief that you are inferior to other leaders, that you can't do great things, that the supernatural doesn't flow through you, and can you surrender the belief that there's something uniquely wrong with you? I said, but Lord, those feel so true. Doesn't that mean they are true if it feels that true? He said, no, feelings don't validate truth. They just validate what you believe is true. Feeling, if you want a different feeling, you need a different belief. And so we're realizing, oh, wow, okay, we're here out in the dead. I'm here to change the world. The Lord says, no, I'm here to change you. And there's people within the sound of my voice. The Lord, you're in an assignment, and the assignment is not comfortable because God's doing something deeper in you. And the purpose of desert experiences is to make us successful on the inside when we don't look successful on the outside. You don't need to be in a literal desert for that to happen. But every great leader, and I'm talking to great leaders today, every great leader has a season where the Lord says, I'm going to get you successful in here. Now, so I was going after my beliefs, okay, and God began to confront me about what I believed. And he took a phrase out of Genesis 3:11 where God asked Adam, who told you that you were naked? And took a phrase, who told you that? And started asking me questions. So I would say this, I don't have the gift of healing. By the way, can you just laugh at that? The Lord said, who told you that? Huh. Well, let me think, Lord, probably not you. Probably not you. Let me think. Who did tell me that? Oh, my past experience told me that. Yeah. He said, well, why do you renew your mind with your past experience rather than what I'm saying? Well, Lord, the reason I renew my mind with my past experience and what you're saying is because all the other Christians around me do it, and I thought I was supposed to, too. Let's just chuckle at that, too. Ha ha. I would say, I am a disorganized person. You want to laugh at that as well? Ha ha. The Lord says, who told you that? My wife. Now's my pass. Yep, I'm looking at disorganization right now. Yep, that's a, wow. Steve, we got a pattern here. You like to call things by the past. I like to call things by the future. I thought you said you wanted to be like me. Well, Lord, I thought being like you is just acting like you, not thinking like you. I want to start a whole new movement, WWJT. What would Jesus think? I would say this area is hard for the gospel. The Lord said, who told you that? The past, my feelings are telling me that too. A couple prophets mentioned it as well. I remember I was in the desert for 10 years and we went to a place called Weaverville, California. And where we pastored next. And the first week I get there, someone comes up to me and says to me, Steve, this city's hard for the gospel. I knew if I renewed my mind with that, I'd become one of the biggest problems in my city. That belief system, that's it. That belief system's the stronghold. We don't deny it's been hard, but we don't call it hard. Because the moment we call things by their experience, then that becomes the stronghold that is blocking God more than anything the devil's doing. And so I was realizing, wow, Romans 12:2 is obviously talking about positive mind renewal, be transformed. The Greek word for transformed, be metamorphosed. It's where we get the word metamorphosis. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. But the truth is that we can renew our mind with truth or lies. Whatever we come into regular agreement with is mind renewal. And I used to only renew my mind with my feelings and my past experience. And the Lord says, bummer for you. Because all you're going to do is keep transforming your future into the same feelings and same experiences, and you're going to call it your personality and your gift mix. And when I'm learning this in the early 90s, this is not a convenient season to radically renew my mind. Matter of fact, I've never found a convenient time. Well, yep, it's all lined up. This is convenient. Yes, amen. I'm completely satisfied with me. All the people in my life are doing what I think they should be doing. I have no uncertainties for my future. I have all the money I need. And I'm only hearing good news in the media. Yep, now. It's never convenient. It's never convenient to start thinking higher. And by the way, there's a grace. You guys, I know, I feel it in the spirit. The Lord's already been doing things in you about your thinking. But there's a grace being released on you. Even in this meeting, something's happening to people. Something's happened. Just say something's happening. And so it wasn't convenient. Let me tell you, during that season, the circumstances that were trying to speak to me and tell me that I was a failure, I didn't have potential, and tell me that God wasn't being good to me. And I'm going to tell you a few of these things, and after I share each one, I want you to laugh, okay? All right, so this was a season where the Lord said, change the way you think. It's not convenient. Here's the things that were telling me it wasn't convenient. I had a non-successful car. Ha ha.
Yep. Kind of embarrassed to drive this around. Car's trying to tell me that I'm insignificant. Car, you're lying to me. You're trying to send me a message. Delete. I had a non-successful salary and bank account. Ha 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 ha. Ha ha. Bank account, you're lying. My hair was starting to get non-successful. Mirror. Hey, mirror. I got something to tell you, mirror. You're lying to me. You're trying to tell me my significance. You're trying to delete. Church size. Let me go back up. I had a very small church size. Can you guys laugh at that? Ha ha ha. I'd go to pastor meetings. How many people do you have in your church? I want to change the subject. Boy, the weather's really nice, isn't it? All of those things were trying to send me a message to get me to renew my mind with the message. It's interesting, you look even in James 1, 2 to 4, where James says this, he says, consider it pure joy, my brethren, when you fall into various trials. Say various trials. Now, a various trial is not just like a car breaking down or whatever. A various trial can be an ongoing thing that you're experiencing. It says, consider, it's something that we don't like happening that's happening. A various trial. And it says, consider pure joy, my brethren, when you fall into various trials, the only way you can consider it pure joy is if you know something. Knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience, and let patience have its perfect work, it goes on to lacking nothing. But it says that the trial is testing our belief system, knowing the testing of your faith. It's a testing of your beliefs, because the trial is trying to send us a message about who we are, about God, about our potential, and to get us to renew our mind with something opposite of what the Lord is saying. Why don't you just turn to your neighbor and say, I just think this whole message is just for you. So I'm learning, wow, okay. I've been renewing my mind more with my feelings and my past rather than what God is saying. I didn't know that. Wow, okay. So I begin to understand. The battle's really between lies and truth. John 8:32 says, the truth will make you what? Free. So every area of my life where I believe truth, where I'm renewing my mind with truth, I get free. Every area where I'm believing lies, renewing my mind with lies, I'm not free. I first get free in my emotions, then I get free in my circumstances. We get saved by believing in Jesus. We get free by believing like Jesus. I get saved by believing in Jesus. Anybody here born again? Anybody glad you're saved? Woo, give a shout if you're saved, yeah. But I get free by believing like him. Now, ultimately, I love having people pray for me. I love the anointing. I mean, I love it when the anointing of God, man, you know, you just get zapped. By the way, I hear Jehovah Zapper is on the move. But ultimately, it's not what the person who prays for me believes whether I'm going to be free. Ultimately, it's what I believe. Ultimately, there has to come a season where I take responsibility and I go after how I think, because my freedom is determined by my beliefs or my lack of freedom. Now, again, the battle is between lies and truth. The greatest spiritual warfare is in our own minds. 2 Corinthians 10:4 and 5 says, the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they're mighty in God to the pulling down of strongholds. We demolish arguments. Just say, I demolish arguments. We demolish arguments and every high thing that exalts itself above the knowledge of God, taking every thought captive. The most quoted spiritual warfare passage in the Bible is not talking about regional demonic principalities. It's talking about our own thinking. The only command that's given is to take thoughts captive. And it says, we demolish arguments and every high thing that exalts itself above the knowledge of God. I believe that feelings and past experience are the main things that are trying to exalt themselves above the knowledge of God. So the battle's between lies and truth. So the question is, how do we know if we're believing a lie? Because the nature of deception is that we don't know we're deceived. Once we know we're deceived, we're no longer deceived. I know that's kind of, you might need another cup of coffee for that one. The nature of deception is we don't know we're deceived. The devil's a deceiver. He's the father of all lies. His main goal, his main tactic is to get us to believe a lie is actually truth. That's what he does. Now, so I got an indicator of how I know if I'm believing a lie. I was reading a book by a man named Francis Frangipane where it's a three battlegrounds. And one of the battlegrounds is the mind. And he said this. He said, every area of your life that does not glisten with hope, say glisten with hope. Every area of your life that doesn't glisten with hope means you're believing a lie, and that area is a stronghold of the devil in your life. Someone say amen or oh me. Man, every area of your life doesn't glisten with hope means you're believing a lie, and that area is a stronghold of the devil in your life. I close the book, I become instantly discouraged. Because I'm trying to find one area where I got hope, let alone glistening hope. Didn't even know glistening hope existed. I can't find one. Then I pray a stupid prayer. Oh God, would you please show me every lie that I'm believing? I should have prayed, Lord, show me 10% of the lies I'm believing. Because I got the revelation almost everything I believed in my life was a lie, and I was pastoring a church. Let's not laugh at that. Oh, man. I had good doctrine, but bad beliefs. We need good Bible doctrine. Jesus is God, the authority of Scripture, salvation by grace through faith alone, and others. But how many know you can have great Bible doctrine and be a mess because we're believing lies about God, ourselves, people in our life, our nation, circumstances, finances, family? And so I got this indicator. Wow, okay. Hope. And then he showed me Romans 15:13, my life verse, where it says in the New King James Version, now, the first word's now. When's now? All right, this is a smart crowd here. It says, now may the God of hope fill you. When? Now. Okay. When all uncertainties are over? Is that when you get filled? When? Oh, now. Okay. When you overcome that weakness, then? No. When? Now. Okay, now may the God of hope fill you. By the way, we're already filled by everything of the Lord, but we get filled in our soul, our mind, will, and emotion. The God of hope filling us. Now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace, because hope's got two buddies who hang out with him. When you find a true hope, you find all joy and peace. Now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing. That's the key phrase, say in believing. We'll come back to that. Then it goes on to say that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Man, the Holy Spirit gets excited. You start abounding. You get energized. Because hope for the future gives energy for the present. Because without a vision, the people perish. Hope and vision are linked. But it says you abound in hope by the power. You start abounding. You get so much hope, you just can't hardly contain it. You get the Tigger anointing. Tigger from Winnie the Pooh. You guys know that guy? He's one of my mentors. I used to have symptoms of the Eeyore anointing. Nobody wants Pastor Eeyore. Hello, everybody. I'm Pastor Eeyore. It's good to have all two of you here. Thank you, Mom, for coming. I'm in part 85 of my series, Why Things Are Only Going to Get Worse. And my main message today is keep feeding on the news media. Get as much of that as you can, especially keep feeding on what's happening in American politics. Keep feeding on that as much, then you'll be realistic. No, nobody wants Pastor Eeyore. Napoleon said leaders are brokers of hope. That's what leaders do. Leaders, I've got a dream. We can make things better. Just say, we're going to make things better. And so this changed my life. And this is the main point I want to get to today is that basically Romans 15:13 says, now may the God of hope fill you in believing. So increasing hope in our life is the evidence we're renewing our mind with truth and creating positive strongholds. Strongholds of faith, hope, love, peace, courage, just power and fruits of the Spirit, gifts of the Spirit. Decreasing hope in our life or an area of our life is the evidence we're renewing our mind with lies instead of truth and creating negative strongholds of regret, victim mindset, disappointment, discouragement, pessimism. If I'm believing truth, how do I know if I'm renewing my mind with truth? My hope level's rising. How do I know if I'm renewing my mind with lies? My hope level's decreasing. That's the indicator. This is what I'm learning in the desert. It changed my life. It changed my spiritual warfare. I'm more concerned about my lack of hope, anything the devil's doing, because my lack of hope tells me I'm believing lies. We heard this, Stephen Windy, your hopelessness about a problem is a bigger problem than the problem. Try to say that five times. My hopelessness about a problem is a bigger problem than the problem. Say that with me. My hopelessness about a problem is a bigger problem than the problem. It's almost always true because my lack of hope tells me I'm renewing my mind with lies in that area. So like if I have a lack of hope in my finances, then I'm gonna steward well, I wanna be generous, I wanna work hard, but unless I get to the root of why I don't have hope, what's the lies that are creating my lack of hope, I'm probably not gonna see transformation. My lack of hope about that family situation is almost always a bigger problem than the family situation. I remember a while back, I was just battling for hope and doing all the stuff, worshiping, declaring, and I couldn't get the spirit of heaviness off me. Anybody ever had that happen? Just can't, the spirit of heaviness. So I go to my wife and Wendy, I say, help. And she asked me a question. She says, what do you need to believe to have hope in that area? Woo! And that's the power question. Well, you ask the Lord that question about an area of your life because we all have at least one area of our life that's screaming at us, this really is hopeless. We all got at least one, maybe more than one. And by the way, the Lord says, Stephen Windy, I give you permission to be hopeless about anything I'm hopeless about. Never once have we prayed about a matter and asked, Lord, are you hopeless about this? Never once have we heard from heaven, yes, we're hopeless here in heaven. We're completely stumped. We don't know what to do. That situation's so bad, even prayer is pointless. No, it's, and so, wow, what do I need to believe to have hope in that area? She asked that question. I got to believe my prayers are working even if I don't see them working. Got to believe that, you know, he was started a good works and it completed. Romans 8:28, even all things work together for good, that even some things that I didn't do right concerning that situation, he's turning out for good. And I started to renew my mind with those things. And then my hope level starts to rise. Today, the Lord's he's releasing hope today. This is a house of hope. This is a house of hope. And you know, it comes back to, I said, wow. Again, I learned this. I'm a mess. Man, I just believe in lies. I said, Lord, I need some help. I said, can you give me some help? He said, okay, Steve, do what I do. I said, Lord, what do you do? Show me Psalm 2:4. He who sits in the heavens laughs. How many here want to be more like God? Yeah, I see those hands. He who sits in the heavens laughs. So the question is, what's God laughing at? Well, the context is he's laughing at what his enemies are saying and planning. So I'm a spiritual experimenter. I've already talked about it, but I want to go deeper in this. I'm a spiritual experimenter. I've done things I've never, ever heard any other Christian do. By the way, there's no progress unless somebody's trying new things. So I said, well, I've never heard about it. I'm going to do an experiment and laugh at the lies of the devil. And I said, yeah, because to laugh, you have to let go of something. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they're mighty in God to the pulling down of strongholds. There's many weapons, but laughter is one weapon that helps pull down strongholds in our life. To laugh, we have to let go. Now, I've been married to my wife, Wendy, 47 years. We love each other. We're best friends, but we still don't always agree with each other. Let's laugh at that. And when we're not agreeing, especially when I think she's really wrong, I'm not laughing. Because if I laugh, Wendy will think things are okay. I don't want Wendy to think things are okay. Wendy, I'm a victim of you. Wendy, my joy depends on your behavior. Wendy, for me to walk in biblical joy, I need you to be doing what I think you should be doing. Ha ha. How many know when I finally laugh? Ha ha, woohoo! How many know I let go of that thing? Whatever I was pulling out of my relational toolkit. Manipulation, frustration, anger. You can't hold on to those things and laugh at the same time. Same way with lies. So I want to close today by us just letting go of some lies. You guys good? Yep, all right. Now I'm gonna share again, I'll share some of the devil's all-time favorite lies, lies I've renewed my mind with, sometimes slip back into renewing my mind with them because they feel so true. And some of them would be easy to laugh at. Ha, 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 woo-hoo. Now this is more deeper lies. You might laugh like this. Because you're actually getting delivered of something. But it's a fun deliverance. A deliverance doesn't always have to be messy. It can be fun. You guys good? Why don't you guys just warm up your laughter again? All right. Let's just do the one I already did, but let's just laugh at it again because we all hear the same lies. Let's give a great, great laugh and chuckle on this one. You are a failure. Let's give an extra laugh on that one. All right, here's a good one. God loves you, but he doesn't like you. Here's a classic lie of the devil. God will not provide for your needs in the future. Ha, 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 ha. Here's a good one. You should not trust the perspective of any preacher from America who laughs a lot. Because obviously they're not getting it. Australia is an impossible nation for worldwide revival to break out from. Ha, ha, ha. As a matter of fact, God doesn't even like Australia. Your prayers for your family are not working at all. You do not have the right personality to be joyful or to laugh much. Kind of concerned about this section over here. Anybody else concerned about this section? Might need more ushers over. I just try to help guide that. In key decisions that you will need to make in the future, you will not know what to do. Ha, ha, ha. And if you make the wrong decision, God won't know what to do. You've already reached your life's highest level of influence. Now your influence is just going to decline. You're not smart enough to be significant. You're not attractive enough to be significant. Nervous laughter on that round. And then one of the devil's all-time favorite lies. Laughter in the church is from the devil. Today, the Lord's, it's so exciting to be with you today because God's already doing just some really good things here. And this piece, and this thing about, wow, I'm not just surrendering my heart, but I'm surrendering my beliefs. I'm surrendering beliefs, and I'm not going to trust any belief that I have that doesn't have hope attached to it, because that's the sign. That's the sign that that belief has a lie connected to it. And thank you, Lord, that we are in a time, because I look at Romans 12, 2, where it says, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. That verse takes all limits off our life because there's no limit to how much we can be transformed. I mean, there's no limit. We can renew our mind, so there's no limit to how much we can be transformed. I was out in the desert, and I started renewing my mind that I was going to influence nations. I was going to write books. I started saying these things to myself, renewing my mind. I had prophetic words. When I started renewing my mind with that, it was ridiculous. If someone would have said, you're going to be speaking someday in Sydney, Australia, I would have said, what are you been smoking? It was ridiculous. I was an insecure, burnout, paranoid hippie who got saved. One day, I've been lied to. It's all a lie. One day it clicked. It's all a lie. And something happened. And something's happening in you today. Say, something's happening. And the lid is being taken off of people today. The self-limiting belief lid is being taken off today. So, Lord, thank you for what you're doing today. Thank you for, I'm going to give a few books away here in a moment, but just thank you for every person who's here. And thank you for just revelation today. Thank you. You're meeting us where we're at. Thank you for those who are battling for hope. Lord, just minister specially to them and then others who are just walking in great hope. Just increase it and everybody in between in the name of Jesus. Give us revelation. Use the phrase, who told you that, to help us get rid of the beliefs that aren't working, that they're working against the very thing that we're desiring within our life. If you guys receive this message, say, I receive it. I'll never be the same again. Something happened in me today. It was supernatural. It's going to increase. It's going to bear a hundredfold fruit. And it's going to influence the nations. Amen. Give the Lord praise. Give him thanks right now. Thank you, Father.
Thank you for joining us. We hope you were blessed. To find out what's happening in the life of our community, you can visit dayspring.com.au or connect with us on Facebook or Instagram.